Today we're shifting away from Matthew's Gospel specifically. We've been working through Matthew's Gospel, looking at the life of Jesus this year. But today we're preparing for Easter. And it's really appropriate that we're sharing in the Lord's Supper as we prepare for Easter. Because this special time is a time that Jesus established so that we wouldn't forget and we would focus our attention on one event in human history. Now, I know Easter involves not just the death of Jesus, but his resurrection. But this table focuses on the cross of Jesus Christ. And the Lord Jesus wants us to know and to focus our attention on his cross. Paul the Apostle said, I decided to know nothing among the, this is to the Corinthians, among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. He wanted the people to be able to embrace fully what Jesus had done on the cross when he was crucified. He knew, Paul himself personally knew, the wonder of the love of God that is contained in the cross of Jesus. God so loved the world that he gave his only son. He gave him up as a sacrifice for us. And when Paul prayed, he prayed for his friends, his brothers and sisters in Christ. If you look at his prayer in Ephesians chapter 3, he prays this, that you may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge. That's what he prayed. He prayed that every individual believer in Jesus would know the height and length and breadth and depth of the love of Christ which surpasses knowledge. How can you know something that surpasses knowledge? Why did Paul use that term? This understanding, this embrace of the love of Jesus surpasses knowledge because it's unable to be grasped just by knowing things in our own effort, by study, by all sorts of... You cannot know the fullness of the love of Jesus Christ simply by your own effort. It's impossible. That's why Paul prayed. And what do you do when you pray? You ask God to do something. You see? God needs to do something in order for us to fully embrace the wonder of the love of Christ, the length and breadth and height and depth. And this kind of knowing comes about through an encounter with God, a true experience of him. And it can only happen when God intervenes in our lives to open the eyes of our hearts, as he did with Lydia in Philippi. Paul went to Philippi to preach. He was by the river where there was a place of prayer, and we read in Acts 16, one who heard us was a woman named Lydia from the city of Thyatira, a seller of purple goods, who was a worshipper of God. The Lord opened her heart. The Lord opened her heart. This is something supernatural, something that God does. And this is why we need to pray for each other. The love that surpasses knowledge is closely linked to the extraordinary forgiveness that Jesus brings into this world. Forgiveness. Forgiveness is the heart of Christianity. Genuine forgiveness is perhaps one of the most powerful expressions of love. You know, this last week, we had a session meeting and your minister really fumbled and bumbled in the session meeting and made a mistake, and he went home feeling very low, and he needed to say sorry to the rest of the elders. And so many of them wrote back, "I forgive you. I forgive you. I forgive you." Forgiveness, true, genuine forgiveness, which God actually gives us in his Son, the Lord Jesus, is the most powerful expression of love that you and I can experience. I want you now to watch a man yesterday forgiving in a powerful way. Over the last week or so here in Melbourne, three little children went to school at Covenant College in Teesdale. Three little children, the children of a minister of our denomination, Surendra, Wesley and his wife May. The youngest of them, Caleb, was hit by a car and killed. And his service, his funeral service, was held yesterday. And we're going to watch now Surendra Wesley, the father of this little boy, sharing with the congregation and with those who've supported him and the family his response to this event. So let us just watch this together. This is just a portion of Surendra Wesley's testimony.
Thank you to all the churches and our brothers and sisters who prayed for us and are praying for us as a family of God that will grant us his love and grace to help us through. Every single touch, every single gift, every single word, every single person who are driving by the site slowed down their cars in respect and honor of our son Caleb. Every prayer, every care, every compassion, and every hug that you all gave us. God, in his mercy, is using it like an ointment to heal our broken hearts. What a blessed privilege it is for us to live in such a beautiful community where people are so wonderful, so loving, so helpful, and so willing to share our burden and sorrow. May the Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ bless you and your families and your loved ones and keep you all safe and in good health. My prayer is that God may give every person a community like ours. You have poured out your love for us. We, the Wesley family, thank you from the bottom of our hearts. I pray for all those who have been deeply affected by this incident that our living and almighty God, Jesus Christ, will comfort and console your hearts, especially praying for those little children who witnessed this incident. May I also take this time to address the lady who hit our boy. Even though our hearts are broken and torn apart at the loss of our beautiful boy, Caleb, we want you and your family to know that the Wesley family forgives you. We hold no grudge against you. We're not angry at you, but we forgive you. And we are able to forgive you because the Lord Jesus Christ, who is our Lord and Savior, has forgiven us, and he continues to forgive us. And he has taught us in the Bible that we need to forgive all people, including those who do wrong against us. We know that this incident is traumatic enough for you and for your family, and you will live with it for the rest of your life. Perhaps forgiveness from Caleb's heartbroken family may console and comfort you and ease your pain a bit. We hope and pray that you will accept our heartfelt forgiveness, and the Lord Jesus Christ will bring comfort to you and to your family. We believe Caleb is in heaven with his Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, because he was part of God's family and he believed in Jesus Christ. We grieve, we'll continue to grieve for our beautiful son, but we grieve with a blessed and eternal hope that is in Christ Jesus. God gives us strength to go through and uphold us and gives us enough grace. Job 1:20 to 21 says this: Then Job arose and tore his clothes and shaved his head and fell on the ground and worshipped. And he said, Naked I came from my mother's womb, and naked shall I return. The Lord gave, and the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. This incident occurs in Job's life when he loses all his children, all his wealth, and everything else. At the end, when he loses all this, he says this: This passage always challenged me to think that how can a mere man say such a thing when his heart has been broken in many pieces, and truly mean it. I'm not comparing myself with Job. No, not at all. Far be it from me. But after this incident, I'm beginning to learn, or perhaps beginning to have a tiny glimpse of understanding, that when God puts you in a difficult situation like this, he imparts enough of his grace to you and enables you to go through it, that you come out thanking, praising, and glorifying his name, as did Job.
Forgiveness is powerful. Forgiveness is at the heart of the cross. Forgiveness is the thing that heals, restores, and releases us from a burden we cannot bear ourselves. One of the most beautiful stories in the life of Jesus, I love this story so much, is when Jesus goes to the house of a Pharisee called Simon. We read this from the scriptures. One of the Pharisees asked him to eat with him, and he went into the Pharisee's house and reclined at table. And behold, a woman of the city who was a sinner, when she learned that he was reclining at table in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster flask of ointment, and standing behind him at his feet, weeping, she began to wet his feet with her tears and wiped them with the hair of her head and kissed his feet and anointed them with the ointment. Now, when the Pharisee who had invited him saw this, he said to himself, If this man were a prophet, he would have known who and what sort of a woman this is who is touching him, for she is a sinner. And Jesus answering said to him, Simon, I have something to say to you. And he answered, Say it, teacher. A certain moneylender had two debtors. One owed 500 denarii and the other 50. When they could not pay, he cancelled the debt of both. Now, which of them will love him more? Simon answered, The one, I suppose, for whom he cancelled the larger debt. And he said to him, You have judged rightly. Then turning toward the woman, he said to Simon, Do you see this woman? I entered your house you gave me no water for my feet, but she has wet my feet with her tears and wiped them with her hair. You gave me no kiss, but from the time I came in, she has not ceased to kiss my feet. You did not anoint my head with oil, but she has anointed my feet with ointment. Therefore, I tell you, her sins, which are many, are forgiven, for she loved much. But he who is forgiven little loves little. And he said to her, your sins are forgiven. And those who were at table with him began to say among themselves, who is this who even forgives sins? He said to the woman, your faith has saved you. Go in peace. The message Jesus is trying to give here to Simon the Pharisee is that he has not been forgiven much because he has not acknowledged how much he needs to be forgiven. We live in a modern age which is telling everyone, oh, you know, think well of yourself. Think positively of yourself. But who are we in God's sight? What do we truly deserve? Do we see the depth of our sin? Do we see how it has corrupted us and our nature? Have we truly dealt with it before God, like this woman who saw the extraordinary love of Jesus, that all her sins, all of them, her pride, her jealousy, her immorality, her lust, her lies, all of them were going to be taken by him on the cross of Calvary. Every single one of them removed, cleansed, and for her to be set free. Yes, as Jesus says, her sins that are many are forgiven, for she loved much. This is a beautiful story of reconciliation, of restoring a relationship between God and a human being. What you saw Surendra Wesley sharing in that video, the weight of guilt and shame on this woman's life who killed this little boy, is like the woman in this story in Simon's house. But your sins and mine are just as weighty. Last Sunday, Alex spoke about Jesus telling us, if you've spoken words against people, you are guilty of murder. Later on, he will say, if you've looked at a woman and lusted after